Lekker. Very good to be here this morning. I'm going to be speaking a bit of English, a bit of Afrikaans, a bietjie langsaan Afrikaans, a bietjie langsaan Engels. And then when my English is done, I'll be speaking Afrikaans, and when the Afrikaans is done, I'll say amen. And then we can worship. All right. So, yeah, very, very good to be back. Swellendam in many ways is my hometown. This building, in many ways, is the building where I went to church when I was a little chokkertjie. So, I mean, ek het daar langs die orrel op my ma se skouer geslaap. Jesus, sy getuienis vandag, sy is Jesus, sy weet, is waar. En vir jare lang deur die kerk geslaap, totdat die Here my eendag hierso weer teruggebring het en actually wakker gemaak het. Werklik wakker gemaak het, tot sy koninkryk, tot sy glorie. En van daai dag af het ek nog nie opgehou om om lief te hê nie. So, ja, dit is so lekker vir my mee te wees. In many ways it is for me, Wellen het dit gesê, toe vraag ek vir hom, hoe gaan het? Toe sê hy, goed, ek is net bang vir al die mense, toe sê ek, ek ook. So, ja, dit is reg lekker om hier so te wees. Ek het in 'n ou vriend vastgeloop, Rian, ek het 10 jaar terug, nee, langer as 10 jaar terug, ja, as daai ou my lief gehad, toe niemand anders gewaag het om na by my te kom nie. My disciple pad met my gestap, beautiful, om weer connections, Alwin het net een woord gegeef van sowing seeds. You never know. Ek dink hier Rian het destijds geweet, what fruit it would bear. That's what's faith. Jy weet, om in geloof te kom, I'm sowing the seed. My bags are empty. I don't have any result that I'm showing for what I've done. But the Lord is in control. I trust in Him. Awesome. Can I pray for us before we start? Ah, Lord Jesus, I ask that this morning you would not hear the words of man, but that I would be like a conduit through which your grace and your mercy flows. I ask, Father, that your anointing that sets the prisoners free would be here this morning. Your anointing that heals the brokenhearted. Father, I ask that you would be here this morning, ministering, speaking to our hearts, drawing us closer by your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are the good shepherd. Jesus, dank je dat u die goeie herder is. En u trek mense nader deur u stem. En ons vraag dat u vandag ons sal bedien, Here, met u liefde, met u nabijheid, Here, so dat ons weer verfris kan word. Soos wat David sê in Psalm 23. You refresh my soul. Here, ek vraag dat u vandag vir ons sal kom verfris met u teenwoordigheid. Amen. Lekker. Tja. So, ek het net dit terwijl ek gebid het vir Swellendam, het ek gevoel, die Here drop hierdie in my hart, wat ek, en hy wil julle encourage met dit, met die reel, you have not been wrong in trusting me. You have not been wrong in trusting me. En ek dink, in my eie journey, wanneer het kom by om julle te vertrouw, is daar ebbs and flows, nee? Julle moet nou vir my sê, is het so? Is daar tye wanneer jy voel, is dit die moeite werd? Wanneer het voel jy is in a wilderness season, soos wat die Israelite sekerlik moes gevoel het. When they were saved out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness, sometimes wondering, wasn't it better? And the Israelites did say that. They actually forgot that they were slaves. And they said, listen, let's choose a leader among us to lead us back to Egypt, because there we could eat fish without cost. And it's like, did you guys forget that you were slaves in Egypt? It did. Dit het jou baie gekos, my ouwe. En jy vergeet van dit. And sometimes in our faith journey, we are at the same place. And let's be honest, if God is not with us, then the wilderness is the place where we will die. All right. And so I want to say this morning, that the point, the aim of this word this morning is to encourage your heart and your knees and your feet to keep on walking, to keep on keeping on with this journey in being faithful to God, following Him so that you can inherit the promised land. All right. Now, I did feel like God this morning just wanted to refresh us again. Did I hear, Tian, did I hear correctly? 60. Guys, Do you remember what our response was? It felt like I was in the library. Can you please come share that again? Because and just that one line. You know that the Bible says that the heavens rejoice. So share that again, and then I want us to act like we follow Jesus.
So God worked, and there was about 60, 70 teens that responded.
Guys, that is a miracle. That's like him saying, there were 60 people dead, and we prayed for them, and here they are sitting. They're alive. That is amazing. You know what? God can do amazing things if we trust him, if we allow him to be God in our midst. Okay. So this morning, Charles asked me to preach a comforting word to you guys. And I think I missed it a couple of lines back, so please forgive me if I was sharp. Yeah, Lord forgive me as well. A message, and just the message I felt praying for you guys is that message, about God being Emmanuel, God being with us. God saam met ons. Daar's iemand se ligte aan. Is it Leap? Is it you guys? Okay, cool. Awesome. So I want to say this. The reality of God being with us can be the greatest source of comfort to those who have been bought by the blood of the Lamb, to those who abide in Jesus, who live in his household, who contribute to his household, those who have been cleansed, those whose debts has been forgiven, those who are new creations. It's the most comforting reality that God is with us. But did you know that it is also the most dreadful reality if we have not been forgiven, if we have not been cleansed from our sins, if we are still dead in our sins, if we are still in the darkness? And don't take my word for it. Just ask Nadab and Abihu. They were priests in Israel. They were Aaron's sons. And so they went, God lit a fire in the tabernacle, and he said, this fire must never go out. This flame must never go out. And what Abihu and Nadab does is they go into the presence with their own fire. And God was with them. And what happened to them? They died in the presence of God. It was his holiness is dreadful if I haven't been covered by the sun. And so you also see other examples. Moses going up a mountain. Israel says, you want to go with? No, thank you. Because his presence is so holy. He is such a holy God. And then you can, even the priests, well, you know, if I thought in that time, who would be the guys who were close? Okay, it would be the priests. God designed, when he designed their robe, het hulle klokkies onder gehad. En daar was 'n tou aan hulle bene vasgemaak. So as hulle gaan minister in the holies of holies, en jy, dan luister hulle. Okay, nee, daar's nog klokkies. Okay, hy lewe nog. En dan wanneer hulle nie meer die klokkies hoor nie, dan gaan hulle trek. They couldn't go into the presence. Why? Because they would die as well. And so do you know God's presence is so comforting when we are in him? I'm coming to that good news, but before we get to the good news, we must understand that God is so holy. So holy. And I dare not enter if I haven't been brought near by the blood of Jesus. And so that's our starting point. But then we see when Jesus gets born and the angel speaks to Mary, he says, the son will be Emmanuel. He will be God with us. He will be the one. He will be the lamb who will take away the sins of the world. His blood will atone. His blood will buy back for himself a people. And now we see, because of his blood, we all can come into the presence. We all, a kingdom of priests. Do you understand how amazing that reality was? In Israel, there was one man who could enter, and enter at his own peril. But in the new covenant, everybody's sitting here. Everybody can have that amazing privilege by the blood to enter into his presence. That is an amazing, astounding, that's scandalous how much grace God has had upon us. That's amazing. That he would, that's good news for sinners. Can I just see who are the sinners here? I'll raise my hand. Okay, your theology is good with regards to that. The Bible says those who say they are without sin are liars. Okay, so those of you who did not raise your hand, we are all sinning and falling short of the glory, and all need his blood to enter God with us. But I just wanted to lay that foundation, because a word like this morning can so easily just feel like, oh, God is such a cuddly God. Oh, he's such a father who never disciplines his children. And that's not true of God. This is who he is. He is a holy God, a just God. But then the Bible also says he is a father. And I want to minister this morning about the Father who is with us. And I just want to zone in. Yeah, I want to zone in on two specific aspects of the God who draws us close, who loves us well, the perfect Father. And I want to, the two areas I want to focus on where God is with us is he is with us when we trust him. He is with us in the valley, and he is with us in the fire. All right. So I want to start, just feel like praying again. Ja. Here, dankie dat u vir ons gesterf het, dat ons 'n lewende verhouding met die lewende God kan hê. Here Jesus, en ek wil kom bid vanoggend, Here, dat u vir ons sal kom wys hoe lyk daai verhouding van vertroue. Kom wys ons, Jesus, deur die woord. Kom breek dit oop vir ons in u naam. Amen. Awesome. So I'm gonna start with a family favorite. I'm gonna start in Psalm 23. How amazing is this relationship that David had with the Father, that he likened it to a sheep, his relationship with the shepherd. And you know, shepherding in that time didn't look anything like shepherding looks like today. Okay, and that vandag het ons fences. Wat ons die skapies inhou, en ons gaan slaap in ons eie beddens. Die shepherd, is al enige skaapboere hierso? Is seker besig om skaap te boer. En what the ancient shepherds did is they led not through fences, not with whips, not with sheepdogs. They led with trust. They led with their voice. They could walk and call, and the sheep would follow. And this is the relationship David had. And the Bible says David is a man after my own heart. God says that because he does everything I ask. And so that's the relationship of the shepherd and the sheep. When you say, Lord, I do. I trust you. Your voice is a great comfort to me. And you know why the sheep follow the shepherd? Because they've learned to associate his voice with water. They learn to associate his voice with green pastures. Hulle het geweet as hy praat, hy het my nog altyd gelei na water, na groen gras, na veiligheid toe. And that's why I can trust him. His presence is what comforts me, not the green pasture, not the water, not the safety. He comforts me. And you know why? Then you read this amazing passage where he says, though I go, and this is the only scripture I gave Louis, so we must put it on. let me read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though, and this is the part I want to zone in, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. You know, that's what the sheep desire when they go through a valley, is knowing that the shepherd is with them. So I don't know what your valley is this morning. Maybe your valley is the hope deferred. Your heart is sick because you've trusted in something for so long. And it's just like, God, where are you? Why haven't you come through for me? Maybe there's a place of you trusting for a baby, or you trusting for your marriage to become healthy, and it's just struggling. It's just not happening. Maybe you've tasted loss like few people have. You've lost a job, and now you know you must go home and tell your wife and your two kids sitting there waiting for food. You knowing you are the provider. I don't know what your valley is. I don't know what your fears are. But I can say this. I know the one who said that he would be with you if you trusted him with your life. And so I want to say, a couple of years back, I want to just illustrate this. A couple of years back, my wife and I, we went through our valley. And we have been through a couple since, but I just want to zone in on this story. The day before our son Ilan, one of our adopted boys, the day before his second birthday, we had just baked his cake, and we were busy putting the fence around our pool. And in that time, Lolly was busy breastfeeding. He slipped out of the house, and he was playing beside the pool while we were drilling in holes to put up the fence. And then when I turned around to actually go pick up another tool, I saw him at the bottom of the pool. And then I dived him out, and we did CPR, and we phoned, you know, the ER services, and you know, they arrived quickly. And yeah, it was so crushing. So crushing. God, what do I do now? Where do I go from here? And I remember us saying, oh, this doesn't change who he is. And luckily God prepared me by doing a preach about Job a couple of weeks earlier. And the preach was this: though Job had lost it all, his response was to bow the knee and to worship his God. And so that's what we did. Our routine in the evening is to sing songs to our children. So, you know, Ezra was still, didn't know what was going on. And so we went into the room. We invited a couple of the ladies who had come over. We're going to sing. Because God is still good. And so we sang. Oh, my God is so great. So sterk, so machtig. Als niks wat my God hier kan doen. Amazing. And can I say this? I've had a lot of experiences with God and with his presence. But in that moment, I just felt him. And that was enough for me. I didn't feel like I need to go pray for a resurrection. I didn't need a change of circumstance. I just needed to know that my shepherd was with me. Though I go through the valley, I shall not fear, for you are with me. And so I say again, I don't know what your valley is, what your trial is, what your temptation is, what your season of pruning or discipline might have looked like. But know this, the Lord's presence can bring such a deep comfort to your soul. Such a deep comfort. You know, he says that he is close to the brokenhearted.
And we know on that evening that we sensed the closeness of the shepherd. We sensed his love for us. And then the next morning, a friend of ours shared the scripture with us. He said, I just feel like I should share this with you. The Bible says the law, he is the Lord of all comfort and the Father of compassion, who comforts us so that we can comfort those with the same comfort we have received. And that was beautiful. It comforted us to know that we were not alone. And you know what? Before I called my family, do you know who I called? So you called the ER services. Who was the next person I called? Len Daisel. Do you know why? Because he too is my shepherd. And just hearing his voice, oh, it comforted me in the deep places. So I want to encourage you. Are you going through a valley? Approach your shepherd. You need your shepherds more than you need answers to your bad circumstances. More than you need deliverance, you need your shepherd. You need his presence. That is what will comfort you. You know, the beautiful thing to come back to Psalm 23. Do you know why? Because the shepherd led them through the valley. Do you know why? Why were sheep led through valleys? Because when the seasons changed, the pastures changed as well. So die groen weivelde in hierdie seisoen wat op die vloer was, was nou nie meer daar nie. Nou het die groen weivelde geskuif en die skaapwagter, die herder wou hulle gelei het na die nuwe groen weivelde toe. En partykeer het dit beteken dat hulle deur die vallei moes gegaan het. So valleys was a very common experience for a sheep, but because they learned to trust the shepherd, they could say, I've been through a lot of valleys, but you've been with me every time. And because you've been with me, that encourages me, it comforts me to continue. All right. So, learn to trust the shepherd, even in the valleys, even in the difficult places. Amen? Yo, can I get a tissue, guys? This is a Paw Patrol. This is a Did you give me my this is my boy's bottle. Yeah. Yeah. And then the second thing, so God is with us in our valleys. Isn't that greatly comforting? No. And you know what? Maybe just to finish off that story, it's the great encouragement for us was that God had led us to green pastures through that experience. We know that we are transformed in ways that sometimes it's difficult to articulate. It's difficult to say how we are transformed, but we know that we are not the same anymore. And can I say this? Before we had this tragedy, this storm in our life, I, as an elder in the church, was so intimidated by the pain of other people. I didn't know how to handle it when somebody close to me had cancer, or when somebody lost their job, or when somebody lost a loved one. I didn't know how to respond. And you know what? How did I respond? I ran. Ek het Charles of Len, hulle sal dit hanteer, nie ek nie. En na hierdie experience, voel ek die Here praat met my en sê, Johan, you're nothing like me. I'm the shepherd who's present when the sheep go through crisis. I want you to be present. I don't want you to know what to say. I just want you to be there. En nou as ek terugdink, ek weet nie wat Len gesê het nie. Ek kan nie onthou wat hy gesê het nie. Maar ek onthou dat hy daar was. So this morning is even encouragement for you guys who walk with people in a discipleship relationship or in a leadership capacity. Be there, even when you don't know what to say. Be present, because it's the presence that comforts. All right, and remind them that the Lord is there, and He wants to comfort. All right, is this making sense? All right, so He's with us in the valley. And the next one I want to share is He is also with us in the fire. And can I say this? Who of you guys are like me? Like, maybe just to a voorbeeld te noem. Wanneer ek griep het, joh, dan bid ek het, Here, asseblief, laat hierdie weggaan, laat hierdie weggaan. Wie van julle is so? Okay. Okay, maybe just to reiterate it in English, maybe you guys didn't understand. Who of us wants to pray away our trial, right? That's what we want. Like, please just make it stop. All right. Now, I want to share you this story about the friends of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You guys know the story, but I'll just quickly rehash it. So, Nebuchadnezzar gets this lovely idea to make a big statue about himself. And he says, when the music plays, you must bow to this amazing sculpture. And he's basically saying, I'm God, you bow to me. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, no, we have one. And this is not it. We're not bowing to this. And so then Nebuchadnezzar says, well, bring them to the fire. They heat it up 7 times. The people who throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, they die. And Nebuchadnezzar thinks that's the end of the story, and he walks away. And I actually want to read you the... the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, and then it was translated into Greek. It's called the Septuagint. That's a very big word, but it beteken net die Griekse vertaling van die Ou Testament. I want to read you this because they added a detail that I think is so powerful for us when it comes to responding to trials, to storms, to fires. And they said this: these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the midst of the burning furnace and walked in the midst of the flame, and listen to this, singing praise to God, blessing the Lord. They were praising God, not because the fire had passed. They were praising Him in the fire. That's amazing. And now listen to this. And Nebuchadnezzar heard them singing praises, and he wondered, and rose up in haste and said to the nobles, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they said, yes, O king. And the king said, but I see 4 men loose. There was somebody else with them. And walking in the midst of the fire, and there has no harm come to them. And the appearance of the fourth was like the Son of God. Can I say this? This is like God actually responding in such a unique way. Because Nebuchadnezzar says, if you hear the music, you must bow down to me. And now what does God say? No, Nebuchadnezzar, when you hear the music, you will praise me. And what's the response? What does Nebuchadnezzar do? He says, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But that shows what our response can be in the fire, in the trial, in the fiery furnace, in the purifying fire. But the amazing thing was not what they did. The amazing thing was who was with them. There was a fourth man in the fire with them. And Nebuchadnezzar says it's something like the Son of Man. And in Daniel, you would see that is the description for Jesus, the Son of Man. And we even have that song, Son of God, Son of Man, the mercy from the Father's hand. He was with them in the fire. That is why they could endure something that would definitely spell death for them. And so, yeah, I just feel like God pulling us back to that place where He's asking us, would you respond in trust when you can no longer trust in your circumstances? Will you trust in me above all else? And I want to share this story about a guy who wrote this song I'm going to end with what with the song that he wrote. But this guy, his name is Horatio Spafford. He lived in the 1800s. And there was a massive, he was a business owner, and there was a fire that consumed his entire business. So he lost it all. So now he sent his wife and his four kids over the ocean to England. And then there were two boats that crashed into one another. And the telegraph he gets back from his wife is, I'm alone, I'm safe. So his four kids drown, they die in the process. And so now Horatio Spafford, he's not there for his wife. You can imagine how difficult it is. She barely escaped with her life, but she's alive. Four kids are all dead. Now he takes a boat. You can imagine, this lank. Can you imagine hoe moeilijk dit moes gewees het? The captain, when he calls him, he says, this is where the boat sank, when they're on the waters. And then he wrote a song, It Is Well. He wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul. And he actually said this, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And then you ask yourself, how can it be well? This guy is like a modern Job, right? He's lost it all. Oh, like, how can he say, it is well with my soul? And then you just need to read a couple of verses on. He says, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his blood for my soul. And then he says, for me, be it Christ hence to live. If the dark hours about me shall roll, no pang shall be mine. For in death, as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. So how can you say it as well? If I say, Jesus, I still trust you. And he says, I'll come close. Because he does promise that I'm close to the brokenhearted. So in the fire and in the valley, God says, trust me. Do you trust me? How many times have you guys as parents asked your kids to trust you? Kom, dis 'n vraag. Wie is vra julle dit gereeld? Sê vertrou my nou net op hierdie een asseblief. Okay. Sê gou vir my. Ek hoop ons vat gou daai vir Rianela as 'n voorbeeld. Wanneer sê jy vir jou seun, vertrou my? Ja. As jy onseker is en as jy dink hy verstaan nog nie. Né? So, in julle verhouding met die Here, wanneer moet jy hom vertrou? Ek weet die religious antwoord is altyd, maar jy moet hom vertrou as jy nie kan sien hoekom jy hierdie moet doen nie. Hoekom jy deur hierdie moet gaan nie. Hoekom moet hierdie nou die pad wees? Hoekom het ek nog nie my spouse ontmoet nie? Hoekom het ek nog nie daai breakthrough gekry nie? Hoekom so lank, Here? Hoekom is dit asof ek heeltyd rondom dieselfde berg gaan? Hoekom is dit asof ek net nie deurbraak in myself kry nie? Hoekom het ek nog nie oorwinning oor daardie weakness in myself gekry nie? His response is, trust me, follow me, obey me. That's not easy, is it? I want to end with this. Because I feel like God leading us into a time of worship. This morning, ek voel vandag se woord is eintlik net so 'n bietjie soos 'n stukkie blits wat die vuur sal aansteek, want it's one thing to hear, we must worship God and trust him in the difficulty. It's another thing to do it. It's another thing to sing, my God is so groot, so sterk en so magtig. Right. When you're in the difficulty, when you're in the fire. I want to end with this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their posture in the fire was amazing. Hulle postuur was so honoring. Hulle het gesê, ons God is able om ons te red. Maar selfs al doen hy nie, gaan ons nie buig voor jou nie, Nebukadnezar. Our God, who is able to save us, but even if he does not, we will still worship him. And so that asks the deep questions in our hearts. Do we trust and worship him because he gives us things? Or do we trust and worship him because he is worthy? Do we trust and worship him so that we will get breakthrough or deliverance? Or do we trust and worship him because we want him to be present as a shepherd? Oh. Lolly, ek voel jy moet actually die deel van die Israelites, die van die promise. Jy weet nie waarvan ek praat hier.
Amper begin wonder, kan ek het in tale deel, dat iemand kan interpreteer. Ja, dat ek gaan my thoughts gather. So, daar is Leviticus, denk ek, nee, is in Leviticus, waar daar is een versie wat ons gereeld, ons hou daarvan om dit te quote, waar Moses vir God sê, as jy nie saam met ons gaan nie, dan wil ons nie gaan nie. Want die context van die vers is vir my ongelooflik interessant, so, dit is nou, Moses gaan op na die berg toe en hy kry die instructies van God oor hoe God gedien wil word. So God geef vir hom hoe die tabernakel gaan lyk, hoe die priesters aangetrek gaan word, alles tot die fijnste detail. Daar was selfs klein grenaaikies wat op die klere vastgewerk. Dit is so perfect en dit is een lang, lang, lang speech van precies hoe God aanbid wil word. En terwijl God dit doen, raak die Israelite onder ongeduldig, want dit was nou 40 dae, en hulle begin vir Aaron vra, ons wil iets anders hê om aanbid te word, om te aanbid. Ons soek een God wat ons uit Egypte geleid om te aanbid. En hulle maak die gouden kalf en hulle mis dit heeltemal. En dan kom Moses af en wanneer hy afkom, dan sien hy hierdie gebeurtenis. En wat God dan vir Moses sê is, hy sê vir hom, gaan, ek sal vir julle die beloofde land gee, ek sal al julle vijande aan julle oorgee, maar ek gaan nie saam met julle nie, want julle is 'n stiff-necked people. Arrogant en stubborn, wat is dit in Afrikaans? Hardkoppig, ek wil nie saam met julle gaan nie. En so basis wat God vir Moses sê is, fine, ek het die belofte aan julle gemaak en ek sal dit vir julle gee, maar ek wil nie saam gaan nie. En dit wat vir Moses dan pleit by God, is hy sê, ons gaan nie gaan as jy nie saam gaan nie. En ek dink is my so mooi wat Moses eintlik daar sê is, ons wil nie die belofte hê sonder jy teenwoordigheid nie. Ons wil nie die uitkomst hê, dit wat jy aan ons beloof het, as jy nie in het is nie. En dis waarvoor hy fight.
Ja, so we want his presence. We are those who fight for his presence. Even if we don't get the promise. And even if we would get the promise and not him, he would lay that down. Ja. En ek vra dat julle julle oortoe maak. Ja. Ek wil jou vraag vandag, wat is jou reaksie in die vuur? Wat is jou reaksie in die vallei? And I also feel God comforting you this morning. You have not been wrong in trusting in me. You have not missed it. And I feel actually for oggend as mense wat die Here wil kom bemoedig en vertroos en sê, selfs al het ek nog glad nie deurgekom nie, het jy nie opgehou nie. Dankie. Dankie vir jou great faith, vir jou trust. Dankie. While our eyes are closed, you know, I spoke about the blessed assurance and how lovely it is when God is with us. But did you know that we only have access access to the nearness of God if we have relationship with Him, if we have been born again. And did you know the Bible also says that our sins separate us? It separates us from Jesus. It separates us from the Father. And Jesus, being with us, being Emmanuel, sent, died in our place so that His blood could buy back the wayward sinner, the one who is lost, the one who is in darkness. And I just feel this morning that the Lord wants to invite you. Invite you this morning. Will you not accept the price I paid? I want to have relationship with you. That's why I died for you. And maybe this morning you are sitting here and you feel so ashamed of your sin. You feel so... You know you've grieved God. You know you've missed the mark. And you want to use this opportunity to say, God, please forgive me. Forgive me, God. I want to come back to a place of truly trusting you. I wonder, is there anybody like that? Can you just stand with me and say, Lord, I want to trust you afresh. I want to trust you. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. Thank you. I want to trust you with my sin. I want to trust you with my brokenness. Please, Lord. I know I'm not worthy, but I know you are worthy. Please, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are ministering. Nobody comes unless he is drawn by the Son. And thank you this morning that you are drawing hearts closer to you once again. You are drawing hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just want to pray this prayer. God, thank you that this morning I can come back to you. And there's prayer for those who are standing, but maybe you have this prayer in your heart anyway. I want to ask that you pray it with me. Lord, thank you that your blood covers and forgives. Thank you that through your blood you draw us closer to you. That we can experience the comfort and the blessing of God with us. We lay down our shame and our guilt and our sin and our waywardness and our backsliding and our stiff-neckedness and our stubbornness, God. We lay it down. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for being so familiar with your presence, of growing cold. Forgive us. Because you deserve all the praise and all the glory and all our passion. Come and reignite our hearts again, God. Come and reignite us so that we can run this journey, this race, with zeal and with passion. Come and awaken us again to see your glory, to see your goodness. And then I also want to pray this morning for those who are in the valleys. We're going to go into a time of worship now, but just before we start, can I ask that if you need prayer this morning, I feel like God leading us into a time of ministry. Yaku, is that all right? Okay. Voel die Here lei ons in 'n tyd van bediening in. En as jy voel jy is in 'n valley en jy het gebed nodig, jy het 'n shepherd nodig. Wil jy nie vorentoe kom nie? Wil jy nie braaf wees nie? Ons sal graag vir jou wil bid. Dankie. Wie nog? Al sit jy bo. It's not a long walk.